Back together again, you and I chatting it up on Thursday, the 26th of September, 2024, on Connecticut Today. I open the show with what I see as disturbing numbers from a new poll measuring the climate anxiety with many young Americans. CBS News reporter Wendy Gillette explained the long criminal indictments now facing New York City Mayor Eric Adams, while our buddy, only in Bridgeport, blogger Letty Grimaldi stopped by to talk about the area lawyer now appointed to be a receiver in the ongoing Success Village investigation. So again, I'm proven right on yet something else. Hey, how are you? 203-333-9422-333-WIC. See, remember, it might have been yesterday or the day before, when we were in a discussion about green energy and trying to segue or transition over the next few years, right, you know, to something that is logical when it comes to fossil fuels and wind power and everything and solar, kind of a nice little on the bust of everything, you know, a little of this, a little of that, everything's going to be fine. And remember I told you that we're driving kids nuts. We are driving them crazy. Kids have climate anxiety, and they keep hearing this drumbeat of all the world's burning up, which it's not, all the world's going to break apart, which it won't, all we're going to choke and die from dirty air and clean water, at least not in this country, we're not going to. Doesn't mean we can't take a favorable look at being responsible partners and stewards of the environment. But here's the proof, and in fact, it's a story by our buddy, our pal, who was with us yesterday, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, every Wednesday at about 5:15. There's a new poll out that came out regarding, it was a Sacred Heart poll, by the way, regarding the role of climate change in higher education. 55% of Americans age 15 to 29 agreed strongly or somewhat with the statement, I experience echo anxiety. What the hell is that? Well, we know what it is. It's adults driving young people nuts. It's adults keep telling people, if you don't agree with this, if you don't agree with that, you're all going to die. 55%, better than half of the folks polled by Sacred Heart, 15 to 29 years old, agree with the statement, I experience echo anxiety. Quote, my level of concern for climate change causes psychological stress that impacts my daily life. Do you understand that? We're driving kids and young adults nuts. We're driving them crazy. As much as 82% agreed strongly or somewhat with the comment, I'm worried about the impacts of climate change on future generations. A majority of young people feeling psychological stress over climate change. Turns out, as Dan writes, that trend has been building for years. A 2021 study in the British medical journal Lancet showing 45% of young people worldwide and 26% of people in the U.S. felt echo anxiety. That's crazy, folks. We're driving young people nuts. And it's got to stop. It has to stop. We need to review. I'm serious about this, and I love the environment just as much as anyone else. But should we be teaching about the environment in schools? I'm dead serious on this. Because how do we know what's being taught? Do we have people from, what is this again, 15 to 29? Let me see. 15 to 29. So what are they, a 15-year-old, right? A freshman, maybe a younger sophomore in high school. What are they hearing about the environment? Good, bad, otherwise? Do they have some wacko teacher up there saying, well, you know what, if you don't agree with this and if you don't yell at your parents and stawn them to buy an EV, your kids and grandkids are all going to have moles and radioactive crap emerging from their ears. This is nuts. 55% of those 15 to 29 agreed strongly or somewhat with the statement, I experience echo anxiety. My level of concern for climate change causes psychological stress that impacts my daily life. We're out of our minds, and we need to back off on this because we're driving young people insane. Back here on WICC, Connecticut Today, with your old buddy Paul Pacelli. Boy, down the road a bit, a lot of intrigue in New York City, a rumored indictment of New York City Mayor Eric Adams. And to tell us more about what we know, what we don't know, CBS News reporter Wendy Gillette is joining us. Wendy, good afternoon. Great to have you with us. Thanks for stopping by. So what is known, Wendy, about this so far? And do we know exactly how much trouble Mayor Adams may be in?
Yeah, actually, we know quite a bit. In the last couple of hours, we found out a lot more. Officials have unveiled a laundry list of offenses that the mayor allegedly committed. A federal indictment against him was unsealed this morning. That includes charges of campaign finance violations, bribery, and corruption. And a couple hours ago, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York and the FBI held a joint news conference. And here's what they laid out. There are a lot of alleged allegations that he's facing. Adams is accused of soliciting and accepting illegal campaign contributions, that he knew there were attempts by the Turkish government to gain benefits with him, and federal law prohibits international campaign contributions, which Adams allegedly knew and still accepted, and also created fake paper trails to cover them up. He's also accused of seeking donations from corporations, which are not allowed at all in New York City elections. He allegedly disguised all illegal donations as straw donors, illegally using another's money to make a political contribution in their name, and then got $10 million in public funds contributed to his reelection campaigns to match those donations. He allegedly accepted international travel gifts and didn't tell the public, not including them on annual disclosure forms, even though he was required to do so. And this scheme allegedly began when he was the Brooklyn borough president and stretched from 2016 to 2021.
Wow. So, Wendy, we're not talking about some paperwork screw-ups here. We're not talking about, oh, this is just a misunderstatement. At least in the prosecution's case, this sounds like a pile of very serious stuff here.
Yeah, and also I didn't mention this particular part. He allegedly allowed a Turkish consulate to open in 2021, even though FDNY officials thought it was unsafe. They said they were afraid they would lose their jobs if they did not comply with the mayor. So this is a very long, broad investigation and a list of charges against him that spans 6 years. And all different kinds of illegal activity.
Now, do we know about any formal response from the mayor's and or his attorneys? Does he have attorneys yet? What is his side saying in all this so far?
Yeah, he is denying that he did anything wrong. He says he's going to fight the charges. He said in this statement to CBS, I always knew that if I stood my ground for New Yorkers, that I would be a target. And a target I became if I am charged, he said this before the indictment was released. I am innocent and I will fight this with every ounce of my strength and spirit. And then his lawyer said this after the indictment was made public. We have known for some time that they would try to find a way to bring a case against Mayor Adams. Yesterday, more improper leaks. Today, they emailed us a summons and created the spectacle of a bogus raid because FBI agents showed up at Gracie Mansion where he lives this morning. And that statement from the lawyer continues, very soon they will no doubt hold an hour-long dog and pony show presser rather than appear in open court. And they did, of course, hold that press conference at around 11:30 this morning. Also, the statement says federal judges call them out all the time for spinning in front of the cameras and tainting jurors, but they keep doing it because they can't help themselves. The spotlight is just too exciting. We will see them in court. So definitive statements from both Mayor Adams and his lawyer. We didn't do anything wrong. We're going to fight this. And this is a bogus case.
Wendy, finally, do we know what drove the Turkish government or anybody connected with that to do this? Were they looking for favorable treatment on something? Was it things in the city? Why Turkey? Do we have any idea?
No, we don't know exactly why it all started, what kind of influence they were seeking. It was clear that they were seeking influence. This was coming at the time when they were building this large consulate, and there was a lot of controversy in Turkey because it was very expensive building this that opened in 2021. So it's possible that while the building was going on, they wanted to make sure that things would go smoothly with the building. But other than that, no, we don't really know yet why Turkey in particular.
CBS News correspondent Wendy Gillette. Wendy, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk down the road. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you.
But here's a guy. This guy never delivers word salads. It's nutrient dense. It's high protein. It's perfectly balanced nutrition. Lenny Grimaldi with onlyinbridgeport.com. Right, Lenny? Did I do you good there?
Uncle Paulie.
Yeah.
You talked about clips. You want clips?
Yeah.
Ty Bird has got his wings clipped. Got his wings clipped.
Boy, I tell you, there's some cutting edge headline writing from your old newspaper days. Boy, I got to tell you.
For your listeners, rolling your eyes, Ty Bird is the director of the Sussex Village Board. Right?
Yeah.
And he has been transcended by attorney Barry Knott.
Yeah. So tell us, Lenny, for people who are wondering, yeah, I may have heard the name here. I guess this gentleman, Mr. Knott, comes with a lot of accolades. I haven't seen a negative thing about him. Have you?
I've known Barry a long time.
Yeah. What's he like?
We've worked together for clients. He's sturdy, great background, St. John's Law School, also a degree in finance. Been around a long time, and he has an expertise in housing and real estate. So he knows this stuff, and it's a really good appointment by Judge Radcliffe to put him in charge. And I quote the judge, quote, full and absolute control.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so Barry Knott reports the court. That's what he does. And his job is to get, in the short term, the heat and the water turned down during the cold weather season. It's on the horizon. But you think about this story, I don't care if it was 20 or 25 people would be a story.
Yeah.
This is 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about this for months now, right? We come on here, and now there's some action. And Barry Knott is, he's gonna get the water and heat turned down as quickly as he can in the short term. Looking at the long-term picture, but he's also going to pull apart the finances.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a lot of forensics. You know, a buddy of mine's father was a forensic accountant, and he told me how they look for money, where money goes. Complicated, but it can be done, right?
Well, he's going to be doing it, and whatever he finds, he's going to turn over to the court. And then Judge Radcliffe will decide if he's going to turn it over to law enforcement officials. Meanwhile, the feds are all over this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are deeply involved in this right now. So why? About 2 years ago, the co-op with about 2,000 people, there's about 900 units between Bridgeport and Stratford, they had over $2 million in the bank.
Mm.
$2 million. Now, here's what happened. The people in charge decided to invest that money, $1 million in lawyers. Good grief, what lawyers?
Yeah.
And another million or so in consultants, in management fees. And the co-op owners, they pay about $500, $550 a month in common fee. And that money is allocated to taxes and utilities and bills. It's the responsibility of the management and the board to pay the taxes on behalf of the owners and the residents and to pay utility bills. Here's what they did. They didn't pay the taxes. They didn't pay the utility bills. They said it was more important to pay the lawyers and the consultants and the management fees. And they screwed the residents.
Lenny, but what were they retaining lawyers for? Why did they need those lawyers? For what?
That's the big question, right? That's what we're going to find out. That's what we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Because this has been a vacuum. It's like this is, it's It's been out there for a few months. Well, it's been out there longer than that. There's been no heat and hot water.
Oh, my God.
But the finances started to come out in court, right? During the hearing before Judge Ratcliffe to determine if a receiver should be appointed to oversee. And by the way, this is an extreme measure. This doesn't happen every day.
Yeah.
This is very, very rare where government and the court was going to step in and say, hey, this is a complete and utter disaster,
yeah.
And the good people living there are getting screwed. Plus, they're in the cold, right? And so in court, it came out, this is what they had in the bank 2 years ago. And this is where just in general numbers, broad stroking, where the money was spent. Plus, there were cash withdrawals made. Tyburn made cash withdrawals. Now, he's saying he had to pay people for that. Well, why weren't they just on the payroll? Why are you paying people out in cash? Seriously, why are you paying?
Well, with all due respect, innocent until proven guilty, but you're right, Lenny. You know, again, Mr. Bird will have his say. I understand that. But when most people like you and I hear, hey, I'm paying people in cash, you know, okay.
Well, I'm not saying that and it's, on the face of it.
Yeah.
It's not illegal to pay
someone. No, of course not. No, of course not.
Right? But why is he making cash withdrawals to pay people in cash?
Yeah.
I mean, why aren't they getting a payroll check? Why aren't they just getting a regular check? Why, whatever it may be. So that's, you know, that's kind of a dubious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is going to get pulled apart.
Oh.
I'm not saying who. Someone's getting greased here, and I think people are going to get charged.
I think so. Lenny, in about the minute we have left, weekly Trump dump of what are your mind here? You know, it looks like your boss is doing, I don't know, a little bit better. Some of the polls starting to break in his way. And again, I think VP Harris is being pushed a little now. Even the New York Times, you heard those clips I played. I think they think she's got to get out there a little more. If you were advising her, Lenny, what would you say?
It's really a question of controlling the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I hear exactly what you're saying. When she does these one-on-one interviews, it's a lot easier to control the agenda,
yeah,
right? But when you go before 50 reporters, it's like media without message.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't control the agenda. And that's what it's all about, you know? And so it's a bit of a roll of the dice. Mm-hmm. If she goes out there and has more specificity, what is it? Sometimes you could be specific and say something stupid.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I do, four hours a day here. Yeah, that's me, four hours a day.
Well,
yeah.
But it's a bit of a roll of dice. I hear you on that, but it's really all about controlling the
mess. Sure.
My former boss, Donald Trump, it's like his people can't control.
No.
It's like people ask me, what's it like working for Donald Trump? It's like riding a Bronco. You get on, you hold on for dear life. And so they can't control him. He decides what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And then the risk is like, you know, they shrug their shoulder. I've done that with him, right?
Like,
I was
whatever.
Yeah. And that's it. And you just kind of like, all right, what's next?
And you cash the check. And the check cashes, hopefully. And that's it, right?
Yeah. I got the check every month up to a point, but no complaints there. He paid me pretty well. He paid me well until he didn't pay me.
Anymore. Oh, there you go. All right.
No complaints, though. All right.
Lenny Grimaldi, only on Bridgeport.com. Check it out. A lot going on, Lenny. As usual, it's been a pleasure, sir, and we'll dive into more next week. Thanks.
See you next week. Thank you.
All right. Lenny Grimaldi there, only on Bridgeport.com.